Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
...97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
It's Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, alongside my partner here, Mark Cox, and we have been hearing some headlines about cicadas coming back and the double whammy this year. And I've thought about it, and I've lived through it back, I don't know when it was, in the early 2000s or late 90s?
No. The last time was around 2009, maybe, I think.
Okay.
It's like every 13 years
or
so.
Here's how I know that, because my now 16-year-old was about 2 years old. She was walking around very well at that point. And her older sister, who was 12 years older than her, was terrified of the cicadas. And I taught my 2-year-old that they're not harmful and that if you just pick them up by their wings, you can carry them around and they'll still make their little buzzing sound. And it's funny. And she would pick the cicadas up and chase her older sister with the cicadas. So I know that it was
childhood.
Around 2009, the last time they were here. Yeah.
Well, but the first time I saw it was, I think, in the 90s. And that makes sense if it's every so many years.
Sure.
So, ironically, it has been kind of, you know, lingering in my brain. And then I get this email from Kristen Jeske, and she says, hey, I've got a great story for you. And she has a book she wrote called Cicadas Don't Bug Me. And she is our guest because this show is Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. And we want to find out if they're dangerous. Can you dip them in chocolate and eat them? Or are they going to affect you on the motorcycle or whatever? So, Kristen, we made it happen quickly because I don't know when this is going to happen. Welcome to the show, ma'am. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So are you an expert on cicadas?
So I am. I do not consider myself an expert, but I have become an accidental aficionado on cicadas. I have studied them deeply and have learned all sorts of fun facts. But my main desire is just to teach parents and children not to be afraid of the cicadas.
And that is because you remember in your childhood when this happened, and you yourself were pretty terrified of them, I'm guessing.
Well, in 1987, I lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and we had just like, it seemed like a biblical plague of cicadas. They were everywhere. And so my older sister and I, we experienced the cicadas in a very different way, much as what you were just saying about your daughters. My sister was terrified and barricaded herself in the home. And I tend to do the opposite of whatever she does. So I was very curious and was out there learning about them and really exploring what these creatures are. And so the book is dedicated to my sister because she has a strong dislike of cicadas, and I love my sister enough to then dedicate a book written solely about cicadas to her.
Is this your one and only book that you've written, or have you written others?
I have others. This is the first book I ever wrote that's a children's book. And then I have a book called Joro Spiders Don't Scare Me. And it's about these giant spiders that are invasive to really the East Coast, but the Southeast. But they'll be spreading kind of across the country over the next decade or so.
Wow. Yeah.
So do you have a book in your repertoire called Politicians Don't Bug Me? That would be good.
I might need to add that. That would be timely for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's talk about the subject at hand. When can we expect these cicadas to enter the Midwest or to come from the ground and invade the Midwest? And how big is it going to be?
So that's a really great question, and it's kind of a question that experts everywhere are guessing and putting dates out there, and their dates are normally wrong. Cicadas emerge when the soil, 8 inches below the soil, is 64 degrees. And I know in Missouri, you guys, your soil temperatures are in the 50s right now. So if they heat up in the next few days, if you have just a warm streak, then you can expect to see the cicadas early. But typically when they appear is mid-May.
Okay, so we know they're coming, and this is the 17-year plague. Is that what they're referring to this as?
Well, it depends where you specifically are, but St. Louis area, they'll get the brood 19 cicadas, and those are actually 13-year cicadas. And then a little north of you, there will be the 17-year cicadas, which are brood 13. And those two broods, it's really a phenomenon that hasn't happened since Thomas Jefferson has been alive. But there will be a convergence of those two broods near Springfield, Illinois. So not too far from you.
Wow. I think that's great. So let's talk for a minute about the book. And what age group are you targeting here?
So really, I like to say it's from 3 to 12 years old, but it's really found a market with parents that are fearful themselves. So really, any age can benefit from this book.
And the important message is there's really nothing to fear. I mean, I was able to teach my 2-year-old that. They look ugly and they make strange noises, but they don't bite. They don't sting. There's really nothing about them that you should be afraid of, except that they have wings and they look scary.
Right. You perfectly captured this. And the book talks about the fact that they do not bite. They do not sting. In fact, their mouths are shaped like a tube of a straw. So they're not harmful. There's just a lot of them. So the purpose of the book is to teach children fascination instead of fear, or wonder instead of worry. We want children and parents to be curious instead of fearful when they meet these special bugs.
Kristen Jeschke is our guest. She's the author of Cicadas Don't Bug Me, which is available, and you'll be able to get it at Barnes & Noble, distributed in their physical stores. There's different ways you can get it. We'll tell you about that in just a moment, but it is weird. Do we know why this happens, or is it just one of the mysteries of God?
Well, I think in large part, it's one of the mysteries of God. Cicadas were created in every aspect with purpose, and are very cool creatures. And so they actually have the longest life cycle of any insect, because 17 years underground is a very long time, or 13 years underground. So we don't know, but there are so many things about their creation that are protective in nature. And one of those is that they emerge in such large numbers. They tend to have anything is their natural predator. And so when they emerge in such large numbers, it helps them to be able to breed and create future cicadas and ensures that their life cycle continues.
That's weird. I don't know. I don't know what it is about if I've clicked on snake videos or something on my Facebook feed, but I keep getting these stories that show up on my feed that copperhead snakes love cicadas. And that if you see them in your yard, you should leave them alone, particularly copperheads, because it could bite you. But that snakes particularly love these invasions because, of course, the cicadas attach themselves to trees, I guess, and the snakes can get a fairly easy meal.
Right. There has been a lot of viral content circulating specifically about copperheads and snakes. And I think although we should always be cautious of venomous snakes, for the most part, snakes just want to help us keep insects from overwhelming our environment. So I think we just need to be respectful of nature. But they are favorite snacks of snakes, even fish, birds. A lot of people report their dogs eat them. Pretty much anything that is bigger than a cicada will prey on it.
Okay, so let's stay with that theme, Kristen. Are they edible to humans? Because Bill Gates says we're going to be eating bugs in a few years, you know, all over the planet, and some cultures already do that. Do people eat cicadas in any shape or form, or dipped in chocolate or whatever?
So they absolutely are edible. I have not been brave enough to venture into that cuisine, but they absolutely are edible. They can be cooked in many different ways. As you say, they can be dipped in chocolate. One caution is that they do have an allergic effect that is similar to what someone with a shellfish allergy would have. So if you have shellfish allergies, you're not going to want to sample cicadas. But I have read that they are a great substitute for shrimp and are very similar in texture and taste.
Do you have to shell them? Is that what happens? Because you would want to get the crunchy part off. I don't even know. I can't even imagine why we're talking about this. Who in the
cicada
hell would eat one of these things?
Sounds delicious.
Well, people dip them in chocolate, they fry them, they eat all parts of them. So.
How hard up are you in the Biden economy that you're having to eat cicadas? I'm sorry. Man alive.
Wow.
So I did find from Montclair State University, I don't even know where that is, a press release they put out May 19th of 2021. Yes, cicadas are safe to eat, and they're delicious. You can harvest them and cook them, it says here. No, thank you. I'm sorry.
You can scoop them with a shovel. There's that many. The first time I saw them, I was in Peabody on a motorcycle ride, and my face had already been pelted by so many. And this entire gas station, everything, walls, gas pumps, everything was completely covered, and it freaked me out. It was like biblical. It was like a biblical plague. How long do they last? That's what I want to know. How long do they stay above ground and freak us all out?
That's a great question. It's a very brief time period. It's usually 4 to 6 weeks. So they'll be gone just as you're starting the summer and summer vacations. Now, their shells will be around for a long time, though.
Yeah. Well,
it's like mulch.
It actually feeds the soil. It has nutrients that feed the soil. So in that, it also has purpose.
Well, Christian Jeske, we appreciate you giving us this information today. Cicadas Don't Bug Me is the name of the book. Can I assume it's available on Amazon as well?
It is, yes, absolutely.
Nice. Well, I'm sure that it's going to probably sell out, because there will be a lot of kids scared to death in just a few weeks when these things start popping out.
I am thankful that children will be helped to not be worried.
Well, very
good.
Yeah,
you really did a nice job on the book, because it's a really quick read. It's just a bunch of bullet points and a bunch of cool photography. Did you actually do the photography of the bugs?
I wish I could say I did, but thankfully, in the 2021 emergence of cicadas, there were some just brilliant photographers that took a lot of pictures that are available for use. And so it is very beneficial to show children actual photos of the insects so they know what to expect. So it's a privilege to get to carry those in my book.
Very good. Kristen, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely. Best of luck with the book. You know what I want you to do?
Well, we'll talk to her again in 14 years, I guess. I think that's the time frame. There'll be a sequel. A recipe book. Come on, Kristen.
Oh, man.
Good
All
stuff.
Right, Chris. Yeah,
and
thank you.
What was your question for me, sir?
So my question for you is I want you to put a ring camera or a live camera on the thought tub. And you can edit it appropriately depending on how clothed you are or unclothed when you get in there. But I want your reaction on camera the first time you get swarmed by these things during your either morning or evening trip to the tub. Because it's coming.
I don't even know what...
You're
going to
go out there and find them floating in there if you're not careful.
Oh, true. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
They'll be dead then, though.
I won't be supple like I have claimed to be.
I know, you won't. Oh, my goodness.
The name of the book, Cicadas Don't Bug Me. Look it up, get it, and support this author. She's a great personality, and she did it out of the kindness of her heart for her family. Isn't that nice?
That is so nice. It really is. You know who else does that? Dave Murray. Works for free. Did you know that? Never.
Is that, well, no, I do. I didn't know he did too.
Well, temperatures matters on when these cicadas come out. We will.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Talk to the one and only meteorologist Dave Murray about what to expect in our spring weather when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.